All right, good morning. Welcome once again to another edition of HUR Newsbreak right here on Sirius XM Channel 141 HUR Voices and 96.3 WHUR Washington. I'm Renee Nash, and for the next 30 minutes or so, I will be your host this morning. Today, a conversation specifically for us parents out there. We're going to talk about some best practices for parents, how to get our young people ready to go back to school, get them in the mindset of school, and also talk a bit about how do we get our young people to listen to us in a world where they have so much capturing their attention. How do we say to them, listen, I'm the parent, I need you to listen to me? And joining me this morning for the conversation is Carol Muleta. She is a certified parent educator for an organization that is all about teaching parents about best practices. It is called the Parent Encouragement Program. And so, Carol, thank you so much for joining us today for HUR Newsbreak.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's first and foremost tell us a bit about your organization, Parent Encouragement Program. Love that, because as a parent, I can tell you I need all the encouragement I can get these days.
Well, absolutely. It's my pleasure to tell you about PEP. PEP has been around for about 32 years, and it is a nonprofit educational organization. And what they do is they provide classes and workshops, they host events, and just in general make educational resources available to parents and caregivers of children from infants to teens. And the PEP philosophy is founded on a few key principles that I think are really very important, and that is that all children need to feel that they belong and can contribute to the world around us. So it's very important for us to build a relationship with them that really communicates that to them. It's also important that they understand that we all deserve dignity and respect no matter how old we are in the family, and that, very importantly, parenting ideally is a balance of being kind and being firm while providing structure and limits in a very respectful way, communicating expectations that parents have. And despite the bumps that are going to occur along the way, we believe it is really very important to acknowledge our children's progress and their efforts as they're working toward their goals. And I really feel I must share that all of the PEP classes are led by parents who, aside from all of their on-the-job training at home, actually engage in hundreds of hours of training and coursework so that they're prepared to really share this knowledge with other parents.
Yeah. And, you know, Carol, there is, I always say that parenting is definitely one of those hardest jobs that you ever will have. And I think most parents out there will agree. I don't care what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more rewarding yet challenging as being a parent. And quite frankly, you know, in today's world, sometimes parents feel like it is just all-consuming and overwhelming. Talk to us a bit about how your organization helps to provide that delicate balance, because it is a delicate balance in today's world when so many parents are no longer, particularly women, are no longer stay-at-home parents, but we're also in the workspace, we're in corporate America, we're in every facet of life, trying to be it all, do it all, and quite frankly, trying to be successful at doing it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we first must look at ourselves really as guides for our children. They're really looking to us at how to be successful in this game of life. And so we have to start that very early on by making a real connection with them and providing them, you know, illuminating the world to them about what society's expectations are, about how we relate to each other, how we how our actions have impacts on each other. And that can just begin right in the family environment, and how we all need to work together and validating them, helping them to know that they're part of a family, that we're counting on you. You have a lot to offer, even at the earliest ages, by training them in life skills and things of that sort, to let them begin to contribute right away. Because discouraged people, people that don't think they matter, become discouraged and act in ways that are unproductive. That's where we get, you know, the bad behavior, if you want to call it that.
So Carol, it seems to me as if one of the central themes of what you're saying is that important level of communication with your children. It's not just a matter of barking out orders, clean your room, do this, do that, but there's got to be some real communication, some real reasoning, if you will, some beyond, I need this done, you got to get that done because I'm the parent and I say so.
Exactly. It's the communication about why it needs to be done and the impact that it has. It's not a matter of pleading with them, like, please do it and all of that, but it's, this is why. If you don't do this, or if I don't do my part, because parents have a role, they contribute to the family as well, obviously. If I don't do my part, this won't work. And if you don't do your part, things won't run smoothly in the family. So they need to understand that. And certainly there will be consequences when we don't do our part. And so they need to understand that as well. But in addition to asking them to do things and contribute, it's very important to have a connection with them outside of that. Really getting inside their world and understanding them as people, what their interests, what their worries are, what their concerns, what their hopes and dreams are, and sharing a little bit of that part of yourself with them as well, so they don't see you as merely an authority figure barking out orders. They see you as a person with feelings and who's thinking about the things that we're asking them to do.
So, Carol, for those parents, and again, we're talking this morning to a wonderful organization. It is the Parent Encouragement Program. We're talking to the parents out there and other caregivers of our young people. So, Carol, for those parents out there who don't have toddlers and may not have applied these principles that you're talking about this morning early on, and they're in those teenage years, those years where, listen, I am just rebellious because I can and I want to be, and you know, mommy and daddy are just the people who are trying to stop me from living. How do you insert the principles that you're talking about now if you didn't grab them and get that instilled in them when they were, you know, 6 months old and a toddler and in grade school?
Sure. Well, you know, I always talk about in pep classes and other work that I do with parents, it's never too late to be the parent you want to be. So what you do is you step back and maybe even, of course, since teens can certainly understand this, acknowledge, hey, things are going a little crazy here. Like, I'm, you know, my temper is flaring, yours is, and I can just imagine that this is not the way we want to live. You know, can we agree on that? And then begin to talk about what's falling apart. Like, hear your child out. Maybe they're saying, you're treating me like a baby. You're not letting me do the things that I'm capable of and whatever. And then the parent on the other side can say, I hear you. And here are some concerns I have. Like, maybe it's about safety, or maybe it's about the fact that the child hasn't learned to do a certain thing, whatever it is, that you're worried that perhaps they can't handle the responsibility or the challenge of a certain task. So lay out both sides' concerns. And then, you know, we call this problem solving. Let's work toward how we can get there, how you can get a little more responsibility or a few more privileges and things like that, and how we as parents can have the assurance about your safety and that kind of thing. And just work together toward that. But acknowledge, hey, we haven't been doing too well at this in the past, but I think for both of our sakes, we want to change. We want to change things. We want things to run a little more smoothly and just go forward from there.
So, Carol, you also talked about consequences. You talked about understanding that everybody has a role inside the family, no matter how young or how old they are.
Yes.
And so when you have that child, because sometimes you will have that point and period in your child's life, as you just said, where things just aren't quite going accurately, where does your organization come down when it comes down when it comes to punishment, particularly corporal punishment. What do you say about that?
We don't support corporal punishment.
Okay.
Because we don't think that children really get the lesson that you want them to learn about handling the particular situation, and it doesn't bring resolution in the situation, because that's what you're really working toward. And so pretty much when you administer the corporal punishment, say, then the child is really focused on being mad at you, you physically hurt them, or punishment may not be physical, but it just may be cruel, or it can involve isolation, or it could be name calling or something like that. They're focused on the act, what you have done, as opposed to recognizing that, well, if I really thought about it, I shouldn't have said this, or I shouldn't have done that. I knew what the rules were, and I made this choice, and that's what it's really about. Instead, they're focused on you and the anger, and maybe either retaliation or how they could possibly get away with it next time without you finding out. And in both of those instances, they really haven't learned the lesson that you really, really want them to get, and that is to not do whatever it is. So we are very much proponents of consequences. We want them to learn from consequences.
So is there this one size fit all for children and in raising children? Some of the principles and applications that you're talking about, would it apply to all children, no matter their economic background, no matter their race, no matter their gender?
Oh, well, yes. The idea of applying consequences, mm-hmm. yes, does work across the spectrum. It's just that you have children are individuals. And so in terms of reaching your child, in terms of what the consequences might be, I mean, you don't want to vary them too much within the family. You need to be consistent. It can't be the consequence for not doing chores can't be one thing for one child and something for another. But you just have to recognize your children, their intent, and things like that, and then develop consequences accordingly. But the idea of consequences working with all of those different sectors that you talked about, yes.
So
maybe different consequences work with different people.
Yeah, and so when you talk about consequences, because I want to make sure I'm clear here, the consequences aren't necessarily punishment, but the consequences can be, listen, if you don't do the dishes, then we won't be able to eat dinner because the dishes are dirty.
There you go.
Okay.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to put dinner on the table until the table is cleared. Like, maybe they've been doing some arts activities or doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to put dinner on the table. Or if the dishes haven't been washed, well, I can't serve dinner because the dishes, we don't have any clean dishes. So it can be that. And then also to remember that consequences can also come from doing the right thing. So it's really all about helping children be able to connect the dots from the action that they decided to take to what happened on the other side. And sometimes that might mean studying hard helps you do well on the test, helps you to get good grades. So consequences, what we have to do is take that negative connotation away from the word consequences. I mean, yes, there's certainly some when there's behavior, there's ramifications of behavior and things like that, inappropriate behavior, I should say. But there are also positive consequences that happen when you do the right thing.
Absolutely. This is HUR Newsbreak right here on 96.3 WHUR and on Sirius XM, Channel 141 HUR Voices. Once again, I'm Renee Nash. My guest this morning is Carol Mulata. She is a certified parent educator, and she's with a great organization. It's called Parent Encouragement Program. And we're talking about some best practices out there for us parents, particularly as we are about to head back to school with our youngsters. And so, Carol, you said something very interesting to me that I think happens so much with our young people, because we are focused so many times on the negative, and we don't sometimes inspire, but we don't lift our children up enough when they're just doing what they're supposed to do. You know, but we're quick to to chastise them many times when they've done something wrong. But when they've done the basic things that they're supposed to do, we're not giving that affirmation. Talk to us a bit about that.
Right, and that's very important. That's the encouragement that we're talking about. Let them know what you see. Like, I saw how hard you worked on that science project. You developed a plan, you came home every night, and you just chipped away at it, and you created a product that is really informative, it's engaging, and I know that a lot of people will be interested in it when they come to the science fair, for example. And just so you want to tell them what you see that they've done, because sometimes children, they don't even own their accomplishments. They don't even realize what they've done. So you want to point that out to them so that they have information going forward. They know that I'm capable of putting together a plan. They know I'm capable of putting together information that people can use. Whatever. You're giving specific feedback to let them know what they did so that they can, first of all, own that accomplishment, and also they have information for the future. And that's very important. It's also, encouragement is also important in cases where children are working toward a goal and they haven't quite met it. If we only emphasize the finished product, the A in math or whatever it is, and then it's going to, if it takes some time, take some time for our children to get there, mm-hmm. then what do they get? What is that fuel that they get along the way to keep trying? So it's very important to encourage them. When you see them doing the right thing, you encourage their effort, and you also encourage them for having achieved the outcome they wanted as well.
Well, Carol, as we said, a lot of parents are in that mode of getting the kids back to school, getting them back into a routine, because a lot of times during the summer months, we kind of get out of a routine. We don't have the scheduled bedtimes. We don't have the scheduled meal times. And, you know, sometimes things get a bit more footloose and fancy free, if you will. So now the rigid routines are coming back into place. And quite frankly, it can be a bit daunting and challenging for parents. Your organization is going to be holding a workshop coming up, and it's titled, Why Don't My Kids Listen to Me? And I think that if a parent could answer that question, they would be a multi-million dollar winner of the lottery. You're going to be talking to parents about that and getting your children to listen to them without nagging, bribing, or yelling. Talk to us about that.
Okay. Well, it's very important for, I would say, and you know, as you said, applying to even going back to school, there are a few things that just really need to be in place for children. Motivation, expectations, meaning an understanding of the parents' expectations, preparation, how they can go forward, and it goes back again to encouragement from parents along the way. When I talk about the motivation, children really need to understand the stake that they have in whatever it is. Like we talked about household chores or things like that, work around the house. They need to understand their stake, the impact that it has when everybody does what they're supposed to do, and what happens when things fall apart and people don't. And so regarding school, it's very important that children have goals to fuel that motivation. So you want to you know, as school approaches, you want to talk to children optimistically about what they can expect at school, and talk to them about what they're hoping that they can accomplish this year in school. And that means, you know, academically, musically, athletically, socially, wherever their interests are, help them to really put some goals on paper, and then how they're going to move forward to achieve those goals, and make the connection as well to how education can help them achieve their life goals. So that kind of puts that motivation in place. And then as parents, we need to convey, what are our expectations? What are our family values about in general, but also about how they apply to education? What are parents' expectations about children applying their best effort? What are their expectations about academic achievement, their children honoring their responsibilities, and what boundaries and limits are in place to make sure that things go smoothly? And next, children really need a game plan. How are they going to approach the school year? You want to help your child define the school routine, you know, perhaps creating a visual schedule where they would map out everything from what time they wake up in the morning and what happens, you know, to get out the door, to how they're going to approach their homework and study when they get home. And then finally, as we just spoke of a moment ago, parents should just be encouraging along the way. Even when things aren't going well, let them know that you're kind of seeing things, you know, you're getting discouraged or looks like you're not getting enough rest or whatever. What can we do? How can we get that back on track? And involve the child in the solution. Because that's another thing. When you talk about children not listening to parents, a lot of times they feel like they have no say in how they approach things. And there really can be a lot of flexibility in how we get things done. It may be, there may not be any negotiability in terms of getting it done, like going to school. I mean, you're not going to negotiate on that. But what time you could kind of be flexible about what time they get up, as long as they get to school on time. Or with their homework, how they approach that afterwards. Do they get 20 minutes of a break before they start their homework? Do they get a snack first, or are they the type that want to come right home and dive right in? I have twin sons who are 14, and they each have different approaches. They know they have to get the homework done, but there are different ways that they need to go about it that work best for them. And so you get less resistance when you really acknowledge and honor who the child is as they approach the goals and the requirements or the expectations that you have for them.
Yeah. You know, Carol, we talked earlier on in the conversation, particularly for parents out there and moms and dads, you know, they work 8 hours, they're commuting and in traffic for another 2 hours in the day, and quite frankly, come home from work with the kids, and it's time for the dreaded homework, and everybody is a bit frazzled, if you will. Children have had challenging times in the office space, in the school space sometimes. And so it's applying that degree of patience on the part of everybody, the children as well as the parents. But we live in such a world where everybody is, quite frankly, on edge. Talk to the parents out there, particularly when they're coming home from work. And I can tell you, as a parent of two grown children, I thank God for the day when I no longer had to come home from work and had to tackle the homework. Mm-hmm. Talk to those parents out there who are still in that space and driving home from work and knowing that they got another battle on their hands in dealing with the kids and the homework, getting it done, checking it and checking it twice. And it's just, quite frankly, a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Well, I think that certainly in the days now, preparing, you know, leading up to school, that's where it really is important. What's the game plan? What's the routine? Because that's the thing. When everybody kind of knows the rules and knows what's expected, then that makes it a little easier to do, even when you don't want to. And then they also know, they kind of recognize when they've kind of gotten off course. So I think that helps to a tremendous degree, that when children know what's expected and they've had some say in how they're going to approach it, so there shouldn't be as much struggle. I mean, there will be occasionally, but at least you all have a framework. You have something that you know that you're working toward, and you can just kind of acknowledge, hey, look, today was not a great day at work. Maybe share with them, what to the extent it's appropriate, what happened. I hear you. I'm tired too, and this is what we need to do, and just get back on track. I think acknowledge that school can be frustrating sometimes. I remember when I was, you know, in the same grade or whatever, and this is what we need to do. I mean, you always kind of need to go back to, what do we agree on?
Absolutely.
What were the expectations? What was the routine that we agreed to?
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have that, that's where a lot of the disagreements and all of that come up.
So, Carol, again, we talked a bit about your organization is going to be holding a free parent workshop. Tell us a bit about that. How can our listeners get involved?
Oh, okay. Well, they can certainly visit our website, petparent.org, or certainly they can Google parentencouragement.org, and they can get a schedule. They can find out when the workshop is going to be held, and it's really as simple as that. They can also call PEP and sign up over the phone. And that's how they can tap into that. It's very much worth their while, I can assure you.
Absolutely. As we said, you know, for parents and for our young people, there's a lot going on. And I think most parents out there, as well as most children out there, if not all, want to do the right thing, want to be the very best parents that we can be. Young people want to be the very best young people they can be.
Yes.
And it definitely takes patience. It takes that sincere communication that you've been talking about, Carol, throughout the show. And we, as I said before, we just kind of live in that world when there is so much commanding our young people's attention. And for parents out there, particularly not just of teenagers, because our young people, are even our toddlers, you know, are consumed. Everybody's got an iPhone, iPad, you know, all kinds of smartphones out there, things to capture their attention. And we've become almost disengaged with humans because we're so consumed with electronics. How do you get back to that space and place where we still get together at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever the case may be for dinner and for breakfast? Because those days, unfortunately, in many families are long gone.
Okay, well, absolutely. We have to bring them back, and we have to be intentional about that. So screen time cannot be unlimited. There has to be some limits around that. Texting or looking at phones and things like that should not be allowed at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
And there also should be a certain time limit for what you do, because I know for the summer, many parents may have loosened up their restrictions on screen time and bedtime, things like that. And so as we transition back to school, kind of let's move back to whatever those rules are. And if you didn't have any, you definitely need to have some rules about how much screen time children can have, including television, phones, tablets, and all of that, and follow those rules. And I certainly encourage that students should not have their phones and tablets charging in their bedroom. In my family, nobody has their phone in their bedroom at night. There's a charging station down in the family room, and that's where everybody has to put them to make sure there's no
sneaking.
Yeah, so be very intentional about that, and that, you know, on certain nights of the week, we're going to get together and watch a movie or, you know, something together, or we're going to play games or whatever. But carve out that family time, but don't wait for it to just happen. Like, maybe if things go smoothly Friday night, we'll play a game.
Right.
That's Friday can be game night.
Right.
Or whatever it is. But that's very important to do, because particularly as our children move into their teen years, you want them to feel like they have a home base.
Absolutely.
You want them to always remember they're people that love them, that love their company, who are very important, who feel that they are very important. You want them to have that connection to home base.
Yeah, and it's you know, Carol, as you pointed out, we schedule so many other things in our lives. So let's schedule that important time to be with our family. Let's, as you just said, carve out that one day, those few hours in that week, and make sure that's the time when nothing else gets to be put on the calendar. That's the time that we're all going to get together and be a family. Carol, it has been indeed my pleasure and delight to talk with you this morning. Give us your website once again so our listeners can follow up and learn more about your organization.
Oh, okay. The website for the PEP program is pepparent.org.
All right, pepparent.org. And again, they have a free workshop. It's coming up on Saturday, October 23rd from 2 to 3 p.m. It's the Parent Encouragement Program. It's going to be taking place in Kensington, Maryland. Pre-registration is required. So again, go to the website pepparent.org. pepparent.org. And again, we've been talking this morning to Carol Mulata, certified parent educator for the particular program. So again, thank you so much, Carol, for joining us this morning for HUR Newsbreak.
Thank you.
Once again, I'm Renee Nash right here on 96.3 WHUR and on Sirius XM channel 141 HUR Voices. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.